Today we're going to talk about righteous living. We have so much great righteousness that's been provided to us through the ministry of Jesus Christ. Not only does it ensure our eternal life, but it helps us in our living every day. And so we're going to talk about two things today. The righteousness we have and what it does for us spiritually. But even more so, we're going to focus on what's that mean for daily life? How can I have a better Monday and Tuesday and even Wednesday knowing that I'm righteous? So it'll be fun. Let's start in Psalm 112. This is way back in the Old Testament, before they even had the full righteousness we get in the new birth. But even way back then, and by the way, the word righteous basically means to be right before God. So there's no conflict between you and God. There's no cause of division or upset. You don't have to be scared of God. You don't think God hates you. Everything's, you can stand before him with just great confidence because things are right between you. You know how that is with a person. Sometimes I'm going into a meeting and I know everybody's mad and can tend to be a little nervous. Other times I'm going into a meeting and I know it's with friends and they like me and we agree and it's just a matter of figuring out what we're going to do. Well, that's sort of like being righteous. Everything's right between you. And when you go to God, it should be in that sense. That because of what Jesus Christ did, everything's right. That's fine. That's what we have. So, unto the righteous in Psalm 112 and verse 4. Unto the right, upright. It actually says upright. There ariseth light in the darkness. So, you may be in a dark day in your life, but if we're upright, meaning being right with God, meaning loving God, light will arise. We tend to panic about the darkness. Well, we should instead be looking to light from God. He, God, is gracious. He is full of compassion, and he is righteous. He's righteous. He's just. He's not going to mess with you. And that's the thing to remember about God. He's gracious, showing, meaning shows you great favor. He's full of compassion. He has great love for you. And he's righteous. Can also be translated just. He's just. He's honest. He's true. And what a great thing. Under the upright there riseth light in the darkness. That's a good one to memorize this week. Because at some point this week you're going to encounter some darkness. Something bad's going to cross your path. And when that happens, just pray that light will arise. Don't be so panicked about that. You run into people all the time who just hear something bad on the news or somebody says something bad to them or they do something stupid and they can't quit talking about it because they're so focused on the darkness. Well, I don't mean to imply the darkness doesn't matter or isn't there. It's just that no matter how dark it is, expect upright, you know, light to arise. Sort of like watching a good summer action movie where the good guy has all these problems from the bad guy. In most movies, unless they're by like some of these nutty new directors you see coming out of Hollywood the last few years, in most movies, the good guy finds a way to win. And no matter how bad it looks, you know the good guy's going to suddenly come through at the end. Well, our lives are a lot like that. Not because we have a Hollywood writer on our side, but because God guarantees, unto the upright there riseth light in the darkness. So be expecting that. Look at Proverbs 28. Another practical thing about being righteous. Go here to chapter 28 and verse 1. Here you go in chapter 28 and verse 1. The wicked flee when no man pursueth. So those that don't have God's protection, even though nobody's actually chasing them, they get nervous and scared and flee anyway. But the righteous, those that are right before God and know God's going to take care of them, they are bold as a lion. The reason we're bold is we know God's going to back us up. We know he'll be there to help us. So we can be very bold. Great way to live. Another great one in Proverbs 18. Proverbs 18 and verse 10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. Being able to call upon the name of the Lord, being able to pray in the name of Jesus Christ like we can do, it's a strong tower. It's the high ground. It's a safe place. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. Now I know things are a little different with our aerial bombs and things that we have today in modern combat, but there was a time where if you had a strong tower and you went in there, you were unassailable. There's no way anybody could get you. It was the strongest kind of fortress you could have. Well, the name of the Lord is that strong tower. It's that fortress. It's that place of refuge. And the righteous, those that are right before God, can run in there and be safe. So we always have a refuge. We always have a sanctuary. The name of the Lord is that sanctuary for the righteous. Look at Isaiah chapter 32. Isaiah 32 and verse 17. In the work of righteousness, what righteousness produces shall be peace. You see, you know when you're right before God, and you can pray to God in the name of Jesus Christ, and He promises to help you, you have peace. You know, it's like you're going out on some project, and there's three of you working on it. You know the other two people are really, really good at what they do, and you got your stuff together. So you're very peaceful, because you go, we have the right team, we can do this. And if you're in one of those situations, well, we have the best team, you and God. And when we know we're right before God, and we know God's going to take care of us, we have great peace. So that's the work of righteousness. That's what it produces. It doesn't matter what you're doing. It doesn't matter how tough the circumstances are. It doesn't matter how grumpy the people are around you. The work of being righteous is peace. And here in verse 17, the effect of righteousness is quietness and assurance forever. Again, we have great quietness in our lives because we know that God will be there to take care of us. So if you want to be quiet, if you want to be assured, if you want to have peace, just remember you're righteous. Because as we'll see in a few minutes, the reason we have righteousness is Jesus Christ paid for it. But if I never take advantage of it by reminding myself that, hey, I don't have to worry about anything because God will be there to take care of me, I'm in trouble. Let's say I'm on a team, a sports team, and I've got the ball and I'm trying to make a goal in whatever sport it is, and all I do is panic about the fact that I can't get through, I may get very panicked. But if I remember, hey, the rest of the team is there, and I can pass the ball to them. And then they'll pass it to somebody else who will go make the goal. And I don't have to be so worried because I'm not doing it all myself. But it's very easy to panic. I got the ball and there's, you know, six defenders between me and the goal. I can't get there. Ah! But wait a minute. I don't have to. I just got to move it 6 feet and then pass it to the other guy. Then it's his problem for a while. Then maybe he'll pass it back to me. Well, it's like that with us and God. If you try to do everything yourself, you will panic because you'll run across stuff you can't handle. But God is a heck of a team player, heck of a guy to have on your team. You pass him the ball, he'll get it down the field. You know, he may throw it back to you or kick it back to you and let you carry it for a while. But still, he's always there on your team. And that's why we don't have to panic, because he's there to back us up. So let's talk about how people get righteousness. Two distinct ways of getting righteousness. The way they got righteousness in the Old Testament times when they were under the law of Moses, and the way we get it today after Jesus Christ has carried out his ministry and paid the price for our sins. It's very different. So let's go to Deuteronomy 6, verse 25, and we'll see about how they obtained righteousness. Deuteronomy 6. And verse 25. Deuteronomy 6:25, and it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God as he hath commanded us. So the way you obtained righteousness back under the old law of Moses was to carry out all of God's commandments. Now that was tough because some people did pretty well, but nobody ever perfectly carried out the law until Jesus Christ. So you could get sort of righteous before God, but you couldn't get completely righteous because nobody was that good. Nobody was that perfect. Well, God realized that, and that's why he sent a Savior. He sent Jesus Christ, who could perfectly carry out the law for us. You know, again, it's like you're working on some project and you can't quite get it. Somebody else shows up who really knows what they're doing, and they fix it. And I've had so many times in my life where that's happened. I'm working. I do pretty well, but I sort of hit the wall. Then somebody knows what they're doing shows up. Like some of you guys might have met my old friend Joe Kaiser when he was helping us teach science in the Bible. And he'd been a chemistry major. And he's a couple years older than I am, so I was working on all of these chemistry lab reports, and I had no idea how to do them. They're okay in the lectures, but the lab reports, I couldn't get them. Well, he came to visit just before I had to turn in those lab reports. And of course, to him, it was easy. So he didn't actually do them for me, but he showed me how to do them, and I might still be in engineering school if he hadn't shown up. And the funny thing is, his job now is coordinating all the freshman chemistry labs for the University of Penn State system. So maybe I got him started, I don't know. But there's a great example where I was trying my best and I just couldn't get it. I couldn't figure it out, but he showed up. And a lot of things in life are like that, where you'll do your best and you can't get there, and God provides something. He sends a person, he does something. Well, he did that with our righteousness because we weren't good enough to do it by following, not we, the people back then weren't, but if we're still under the law, we'd be in the same boat. But God, you see, came through by sending the Savior, Jesus Christ. And that's why if you go forward to Acts 13, you see that righteousness in this day and time, what we call the Church of Grace or the Age of Grace, is very different because Jesus Christ already fulfilled the law, so there's nothing for us to worry about. Just like when Joe showed up to help me with my chemistry labs, it wasn't a problem anymore. Took the little bit of knowledge I had and added his, and bingo, we're done. Well, Jesus Christ, in a much greater way, paid for our righteousness through his ministry. So in Acts 13 and verse 39, and by him, by Jesus Christ, all that believe, anybody that believes in Jesus Christ, are justified. And the word justified comes from the same root word in Greek as righteous. A good one, there are a lot of ways to translate justified, but a good way is simply made righteous. And by him, all that believe are made righteous, made right before God from all things from which you could not be justified or made righteous by the law of Moses. So if you could follow the whole law of Moses, do your very best to live it, and you would never get as righteous, as justified, as today simply believing in Jesus Christ. So imagine that. You could go through all those laws in the Old Testament, all those offerings, all those feast days, all those sacrifices, all that, you know, if you get unclean, you got to wash yourself and stay outside the camp for a week to be cleansed. And you lie or cheat or have a bad thought, and you got to go do special offerings. And just all that stuff. But you could do all that, and you still wouldn't end up as right before God as you are today simply by believing in Jesus Christ. So we got great righteousness, all because of his ministry. Let's read some more about this, going forward to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. And verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, that's by you and me going out, looking what it says in Deuteronomy and Leviticus, reading the law, and trying to live it. By the deeds of the law, verse 20, shall no flesh be justified or made righteous in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. So things have changed. In the Old Testament, that's the way you got righteous, or as righteous as you could get, was by doing the law. But today, it's changed. The way to get righteous now is by believing in Jesus Christ. You know, like there was a time living here in Virginia, you pledged allegiance to George III, King of England, and paid taxes to him. That wouldn't really be appropriate today. If you put your taxes in an envelope and sent them to Buckingham Palace, to Queen Elizabeth, the IRS here would not be impressed. They'd say, you send her anything you want, but you still have to pay me. Things have changed. It's what we call a change of administration or a change of government. Well, the Bible talks about those changes in administration too. And back then, you could get a level of righteousness by following the law, but today it doesn't matter. Today what matters is believing in Jesus Christ. So that's why it says again, verse 20, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified, made righteous in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. The law just points out where you're missing it. Okay, Romans chapter 4. Things have changed. Romans chapter 4 and verse 1. What shall we say then, that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? Remember, Abraham lived long before Moses, before there was even a, you know, Deuteronomy and Leviticus and those Old Testament laws. Long before that, he lived. Verse 2, for if Abraham were justified or made righteous by works, he hath whereof to glory. He has something to brag about, but not before God. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. So before there was even a law with all those details about how to live, the very fact that Abraham believed God, trusted God, loved God, God counted that for being right before him. It just goes to show that what all God ever really wanted was people's hearts. He wanted people to love him, believe him, trust him. And then the law is all these details about how to do that. But that's all God ever wanted. So Abraham's believing was counted unto him for righteousness. Verse 4. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace or of favor, but of debt. You know, if you come over and, you know, cut my grass and paint my porch, fix my fence, and then I serve you dinner afterwards and pay you some money, it's a debt. I owe that to you. You did the work. Workman's worthy of his reward. I pay you. But if you just come over as my friend and I serve you lunch and give you a gift, now it's by grace. It's by my favor. It's because I chose to show my kindness towards you and do that. And we have both situations in life all the time. Sometimes you work and get paid for it. Sometimes somebody just wants to be kind to you and does something for you. Well, to him that worketh not, or excuse me, verse 4, to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace but of debt. Verse 5, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifies or makes righteous the ungodly, his faith or believing is counted for righteousness. And you see, we didn't work for our righteousness. We simply believe that Jesus Christ carried out his ministry. God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, and we acknowledge him as our Lord. Then our righteousness is by grace. See, God realized there was no way we were going to do it. We were not going to accomplish our righteousness, so he just gave it to us. Of course, Jesus Christ had to carry out his ministry and die on the cross and be raised from the dead to get there, but then it was a gift to us, and we just believe it. It's by grace, which is why if you go to Romans 4:17, a little more detail. There's a lot about this in the Bible. We won't read it all today, but we'll read a fair amount. Romans 4, verse 17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him who believed, even God, who quickeneth or makes alive the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. I love that. Because sometimes you read a promise in the Bible and you go, boy, that sounds great, but how could that ever happen to me? And if you have the nerve to believe it and pray and ask God for it, we've all seen things come to pass. Because even though we don't see it today, God calls things which be not as though they were. He says we're righteous. He says we're citizens of heaven. We're seated in the heavens. He says we're more than conquerors. He says we're prosperous. He says we have health. We have eternal life. A lot of these things are stuff you may not see in front of you, but God's promised it. And knowing you're right before God, you pray in the name of Jesus Christ and ask for it, and it's amazing to see those things come to pass in your lives. Because God calls those things which be not as though they are. So remember that. You want something in your life and you says, it be not. It doesn't exist. I want this. I need this. I got to get there, but it ain't here. That doesn't mean God can't get it for you. That doesn't mean God can't accomplish it. Because God will call those things that be not as though they are. Because he knows how he can get you there. Now sometimes you do that. You know, you have a something break in the house, and you know right what aisle it's on in Home Depot, and you got a vision, and you know you can go buy one, and you know how to install it, and you know a day later it's all fixed. And we can do that with stuff we understand. The thing about God is he knows about a lot of stuff we don't, and stuff you can't buy at Home Depot. But he, just like we can figure out how to go fix that little thing by going to Home Depot. Me, it sometimes takes 3 or 4 trips to Home Depot to get it right, but not God. He knows exactly what it is we need. He knows exactly what will get us where we need to go. So that's why he can call things which be not as though they were. Verse 18, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations. This is talking about Abraham. Against hope believed in hope. He was 100 years old. His wife was almost as old. She'd been barren her whole life. I mean, it's tough to have a kid when either the woman is barren or both parents are really old. And they have both situations. They're both really old and the woman was barren. And never been able to have kids even when she was younger, of childbearing age. But God said, you're going to have a kid. And it took Abraham and Sarah a little while to get to believing, but they did. So against hope, believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in believing, he considered not his own body, now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in believing, giving glory to God. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore, this believing, was imputed to him for righteousness. Even though Abraham wasn't perfect, when God saw how much he believed, he took his believing and treated it as righteousness. Verse 23, now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification, or for our being made righteous. So when he was raised from the dead, the result is we get to be righteous. So it's amazing there that his believing was imputed for righteousness. Go to Romans 5. The reason I read so many of these is so you can see it isn't just one verse. On any topic in the Bible, you can take one verse, and if you twist it a little bit and exaggerate, you can come up with wild, nutty ideas that aren't based on the Bible at all. But when you see a pattern show up verse after verse after verse that is crystal clear, then you really know what God's word says. I could have picked one verse that was very clear and we could have been done. But every verse adds a little more detail, a little more sort of depth to the understanding, and it also convinces it it isn't just Bruce has a nutty idea that he found one verse to support. No, it's something that is just infused throughout the Bible. So Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified or made righteous by what? faith by believing. By believing. By simply believing.